Bible with you if you want to turn, please, to John chapter 10. We're looking at this whole subject, is there life for you before death? Or as Keith spells it, is there life for you before life? Or you can live instead of life? You need to check here. Not that I would be one to point out somebody's flaws. Very good. I'm going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, may you bless your word tonight. It's your word that does the work, Lord God, and under the power of the Spirit of God, great things and wonderful things can take place. Help us to hear what you're saying to us, please, in Jesus' name. In John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, says these words, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Is there a life before death? That's chalked up in Bala Murphy. Competence with pain, coherent miseries, a bite and a subtly hug, our little destiny again. These are words from a Seamus Heaney poem called "Whatever You Say, Say None." Is there a life before death? That's chalked up in Bala Murphy. Competence with pain, coherent miseries, a bite and a sup, we hug our little destiny again. But I want to apply our theme this evening to Heaney's Bally Murphy graffiti artist's question by adding, is there a life for you before death? The poet Henry Van Dyke says, "Some people are so afraid to die, they actually never begin to live." The poet William Ross Wallace said, "Every man dies, but not every man really lives." King Solomon said about life, "Meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless." The very question, is there a life for you before death, makes us speculate about what life actually means, which is like the video that we saw, that we can see the life that is in animals. We can see life in that sense created by God. But what does it actually mean? William Ross Wallace alludes that every person alive doesn't necessarily live life before they die. And also, as Dave said last week, some people will do absolutely anything to keep themselves suitably occupied just to avoid having to question what life is all about or what is the purpose and meaning of life. For example, shopping queues make me question the purpose of life. I absolutely hate standing in a shopping queue. And when I look around at people standing in lines to buy their food, I don't mind wheeling the trolley around all the aisles and getting what I need, but when I get to that, I dread getting to the queue. Because when I look around at people buying food and lining up to pay, it makes me think, like Solomon, life is absolutely meaningless. Another thing that makes me question the meaning of life is just how often it seems so unfair. As someone once said, the world is ill-divided. Van Dyck's observation about people being so afraid to die that they never begin to live is actually very valid. Again, many people spend their lives avoiding death or even the subject of death, that they're too afraid to live. The fear of death can grip a person so tightly, it actually strangles the life out of them. So is there a life for you before death? Well, in our reading from John chapter 10, Jesus uses the illustration of people being like sheep, wanting to enter the sheepfold, the place where they are kept safe, where they're sheltered, where they're provided for, where they're cared for. He describes himself as the shepherd who leads his sheep and the door by which the sheep enter the fold. Jesus says all who try to enter the sheepfold by any other means are nothing more than thieves and robbers who come only to steal, kill, and destroy. And yet the Lord's use of this sheep-like illustration is not unusual, because in Isaiah chapter 53 verse 6 says these words, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one of us to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him," speaking of Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." Isaiah the prophet was given the same illustration by God many, many years earlier, given the same illustration to highlight that not only the people of Israel, but all mankind, like sheep, have gone astray and turned to their own ways. And Isaiah points out every human being chooses to go astray, to leave the right path, which is God's way, and go their own way to do their own thing. Last week, Dave also quoted King Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, whom we heard said about life that it is meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless. But King Solomon also said twice, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." You see, the path a person chooses in life doesn't necessarily bring life or lead to life. I mentioned last Sunday morning from Luke's Gospel on the resurrection of Jesus that when the women came to the tomb and found the stone rolled away, and the tomb empty, we're told that two angels or two men in shining garments appeared and asked them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" And these words also suggest, why are you looking for life in dead places? And this is the experience of the majority of people in the world today. Although they are alive, they live and they breathe, they're no different in that sense than the animals. Yet they look for life in dead places. Paul exhorted Timothy, in fact, to tell the rich, those who had plenty of money, he exhorted them to tell the rich, "Take hold of the life that truly is life." See, the people who think they have it all together, they've got everything they need in life, if they haven't got Jesus, they haven't got life. And that's why Paul tells Timothy, tell the rich to take a hold of the life that truly is life. But before I try to answer the Bally Murphy graffiti artist's enhanced question, is there a life for you before death? Let's just take a moment to break down what's been said so far so that we can easily understand it. Firstly, Jesus likens all people to sheep looking for a place of shelter, security, and sustenance. And Isaiah tells us again, all we like sheep have gone astray, doing our own thing, going our own way. Solomon warns us, the way, or that way which seems right to a man, is the way of death. It's absolutely meaningless. But is it? Is life meaningless? In John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I have come into this world that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, he spoke this to the people who had gathered. They were all alive. They were all breathing. Their hearts were beating. They were, in that sense, human beings, in the way we would look at, perfectly well. And yet he said to them, I have come into this world that you might have life and have it abundantly. And the clue, therefore, for the answer to the question, is there a life for you before death, must be found in what Jesus says. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. In other words, Jesus is the one who gives life. He is the giver of true life. Jesus is the shepherd who leads his sheep into the fold where there's, pardon me, shelter, security, and sustenance. Jesus is the door by which people enter into God's kingdom and find eternal life. Life, or living, outside of Jesus is still likened to sheep that have gone astray, doing their own thing, going their own way, rather than following God's way. And if Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, was alive today, he would still warn people that this type of living is meaningless, meaningless, and it leads to death. And yet people will go on looking for life in dead places, but they will never find it. They will go on looking for life everywhere, but in Jesus. Some will continue to be so afraid of death that they'll actually never begin to live. And others will die having never lived at all. But this is not what God intended for us. Out of his love for us, God the Father sent his Son Jesus into this world to die in our place, to pay the price for our waywardness, for our going astray, so that we could have life. And this is why Jesus proclaimed, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. It's God's plan to bring the wayward, straying sheep back through the only door, which is Jesus, into the safety of his fold. It's God's plan for us to have abundant life, everlasting life, right now. It's not something that happens when we die. It's right now. I tell the story of the night that I became a Christian in 1984. And not that long after it, like every Christian experiences, something went wrong, something happened. And I remember saying, oh God, you said, I have come, you might have life and have it abundantly. Well, where is that abundant life? So much for this abundant life, Jesus, you're talking about. And then I realized that every day that he afforded me breath was abundant life, because I didn't deserve to live. And you know, it's a wonderful answer to say to people, when they say, why did God allow that person to die? To answer, ask yourself, why does he permit you to live? Because God has come in Jesus that we might have life and have it abundantly. And so getting back to Seamus Heaney's Bally Murphy graffiti artist and the enhanced question, is there a life for you before death? The answer is a resounding yes. There is a life for you before death. But it's only found in Jesus and in no one else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you tonight that in Jesus there is life. And thank you that those of us who know you and love you have tasted of that life and have right now the everlasting life, the abundant life that Jesus promised. It doesn't mean, Lord, that abundant life is without pain or suffering or sadness, Lord. It doesn't mean that we won't face hardship. But it tells us that we have an abundant, everlasting life, that because no matter what this world can do to us in the end, we shall be forever with the Lord. We will enter fully into that sheepfold where he will care for us for all eternity. Lord, we pray for others tonight who are out there and they have every sense of being alive and yet are dead. Lord, may they truly take a hold of the life that really is life. That life which is found only in Jesus Christ, your Son. May they be able to say, Jesus came into this world that I might have life. And I have it abundantly because of him. We thank you tonight for your word. And thank you that there is life for us before death. But there is also life for us after death. All because of Jesus. Amen.